Preach it.
I'm going to. I'll preach it. Now that's an old-fashioned Texas saying. Did you hear that, Ralph? Preach it. Hey, Ralph. I'll give you my blood pressure in a half hour. I'll tell you what it is in a half hour. My blood pressure. 140 over 74. I know you do.
120.
I know. Okay, guys. Proverbs 25. One of the things that I want to say this morning that is real important that the Holy Spirit's been leading me to say, and that is the fact that the book of Psalms sets you up in such a way and in a manner that your presence with God is enriched to the point where the next book brings you into the wisdom that God has for you. And the wisdom of the Proverbs is like accented by a presentation, if you will, of the Psalms, of what God is trying to say in the Psalms. And one sets up the believer for a lifestyle that should not be ignored. But people do it all day long. There's some people say, well, I just stay in the New Testament all the time. Well, that's not bad. But the Old Testament with the Psalms and Proverbs has got so much richness to it that I find that one accents the other. And the more that you enjoy what it means to do that, have a notebook ready, because God can talk with you very, very easily through using the Psalms and the Proverbs to guide you. Everybody in agreement with that? That's amen. Yeah.
I would like to
Oh, Irv's got
tell
something
you,
to say.
when I was a very young man, probably about 10 years old, I
Irv's
had to
talking.
memorize Psalm 25, 21. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head.
That's one of the Proverbs this morning. Amen. Okay, I'm going to start with this. One of the things that happens, these are also, and I don't know why Solomon puts in the word also, the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. What an interesting word. And then he says, go to 1 Kings for a reference here, 4:32. And I want you guys to go there. This is real interesting. On 1 Kings chapter 4, 32, it says here, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Did you guys know that? Amazing what Solomon composed. So he spoke of trees, and the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake unto the beasts and the fowl and creepy things and the fishes. And I'm still waiting to hear what he said with the fishes, because I sure would like to catch one. You guys know I'm a fisherman. Good morning, Roger. But the thing here is that the Proverbs are all ready. So what we need to do is to ask God to reveal to us what he's trying to say to us. And so I'm grateful for the Proverbs. Okay. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the hearts and minds of kings are unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, verse 4, and there shall come forth the material for a vessel for the silversmith to work up. That is a, I mean, my goodness, there's so much meat in that. And he has us go to 2 Timothy 21:1, and I want to read that. 2 Timothy. I love my tabs. All right. 2 Timothy 21:1. No, there's no chapter 21. It says, 2 Timothy 2:21. Okay. So it says here, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Okay. Is that a pretty obvious answer to what you're supposed to look like as a Christian? I just want you guys to know that I am so fully enthralled by the depth of what that means. We are vessels unto honor and vessels sanctified. Now, what's the first thing that happens to a person when they accept Jesus? They become justified. That's right. Justified, and then you go through the process of what's called sanctification. That's lifelong. And once the sanctification is complete, God says, well, your sanctification is complete, time to come home, and you get glorified. So that's a process that we all go through. But I'm so grateful for being sanctified in the process of sanctification, because he's got a lot to sanctify in me. Yeah, I still got some cleaning up work to do. Every so often you feel how dirty you are, and you say, whoa, God, I got to sit down and repent. Anybody been like that? Sometimes by the end of the day, you go, I feel dirty. Huh? At any rate, so here's where I want to go. It says, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. Lord, I pray that our next quote-unquote king has that attitude. Be not forward, assertive, boastfully ambitious in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men, i.e., remain humble. Is that what you're hearing from that? So that's how we remain humble. Humble is to have that attitude. For better it is that it should be said to you, come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whose eyes have seen you. And the reference for that is Luke chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. Rush not forth soon to quarrel. And my amplified here says before magistrates or elsewhere, lest you know not what to do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame. Oh, my goodness. How many times has that happened to you guys, one time or another? And it's very, very painful when it does happen. I went out and I took a ladder off of the street a little over 10 years ago, my neighbors to the north of me. And there was a ladder and had the rungs fallen off of it. And the ladder had been laying there for 3 days. And I figured, well, it's been laying there 3 days. Nobody wants it. I could sure use it to clean my gutter. So I grabbed it without asking my neighbor if I could have it. No, 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 no. She's been hating me ever since. And I mean to this day. And she walks around with this chip on her shoulder, won't talk to me. And that's good 10 years ago. You guys probably say, why are you still living there? Well, I'm waiting. I've been praying for her ever since. We'll see what the Lord does with all those prayers. But yes, there's the shame. And boy, did she come down on me like a ton of bricks. She almost called the police. Oh, she was so mad. But when you don't have a relationship with your neighbors, that's not good. You need to have some kind of civil friendship, something to approach your neighbor. I won't go into the history of that. It's not necessary. Okay. A word fitly spoken and in due season. Verse 11. A word fitly spoken and in due season. Can you imagine how many, have you guys got any ideas in the history of your lives? What that due season was for each and every one of you has a due season with a word fitly spoken. You know who brings that? The Holy Spirit. He's the one who brings the word fitly spoken, and it is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And the references for that are Proverbs 15:23 and Isaiah 50, verse 4. Like an earring or nose ring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to an ear that listens and obeys. What is the most famous word for every believer that everybody should listen to from the Lord? And I'm going to answer my own question. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. And when you've got a word fitly spoken, you might even be able to get that person to do what the Lord wants them to do. I'm telling you, there are times, not very many, but there are times when God uses you. I mean, there are divine appointments waiting for you all over the place. Am I right? They're there. They're in the future. And how do we prepare for those except by learning these things, learning the Psalms and the Proverbs, and for that matter, the rest of the word. Okay. Whoever falsely, verse 14, whoever falsely boasts of gifts and he does not give is like clouds and wind without rain. Boy, I could speak a political there word there, but I won't do that here. By long forbearance and calmness of spirit, a judge or ruler is persuaded, and soft speech, just like Brother Hears just said, and soft speech breaks down the most bone-like resistance. Let me read that again. I mean, that was rich. Again, this is coming out of the Amplified. By long forbearance, putting up with something, and calmness of spirit. Woo! What is the ninth gift of the Holy Spirit? Self-control. Self-control. Amen, Roger? All right. And breaks down the most vulnerable. I don't know why I picked on you. Okay. Have you found pleasure sweet like honey? Have you found, eat only as much? All right. All right. Let your foot seldom be in your neighbor's. Listen to this. Let your foot seldom be in your neighbor's house, lest he become tired of you and hate you. Oh boy, do I have a story behind that. I was really, 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 really broken, 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 broken. Lori had left me, and 6 months earlier, and all of a sudden, this guy shows up, and he's in a wheelchair. His name's Joseph, and it's September, and he shows up, and he said, I got no place to go, man. He's a Sarah paraplegic. Anybody knows what that is? That's for somebody who has no control from here down, but can work with his hands. That's Sarah Para. So he said, I got no place to go. Can I stay at your house for a few weeks? And I said, well, yeah, I got nobody to take care of. And frankly, I really need somebody because I'm so hurting in myself. He stayed 9 months.
Wow.
Which means, and big guy, which means I took care of him, which means I bathed him and fed him and took care of him. I'm not boasting here. That's just what happens. Well, he's big. He's heavy. There's only me. And taking him in and out of the bathtub, I threw up my back 3 times. Really screwed myself up. And he destroyed my floor because of his tube. And the important thing is that I still was called to love him. And an unconditional love it was. And when I would get little Jonathan, Jonathan would sit on his lap, and he wasn't but 2 or 3 years old at that time. And oh, he would just enjoy Joseph wheeling him around on that wheelchair. But so there was a beautiful thing that was happening there, and the Lord had known. But yet, finally, he just didn't want to leave. And so finally, one day, I had to ask him in June, and I had a girlfriend at that time, finally. And I said, I was feeling pretty good about myself by then. And so I told Joseph, I said, you got 30 days to get out of here. Was that cruel? 9 months later. And, well, okay, man. And it was like he was just trying to get all he could out of me. And I didn't hate him though. And to this day, he's with the Lord now. But wow. And I have more examples, but this don't know that I don't have to go into all of them. But when you're president of Full Gospel Business Fellowship, people call you up from the highway and ask to come and stay at your house. And I was in a register, and they would find my name in the register and my phone number. They'd call me up from the highway. Do you come and pick me up? I don't, no place to stay tonight. And I'd come and I'd go out the highway and get them and bring them to my house, and they'd spend the night and stink. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter. They needed a place to stay to get out of the weather and to have a good night's sleep. And that's all that mattered was that I did that. So it's a matter of obedience. Again, obedience better than sacrifice. And there was sacrifice involved there, but I was all alone. You know, all I had was Mandy, my dog. She was wonderful. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a heavy sledgehammer and a sword and a sharp arrow. There's all kinds of examples out there. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. I could easily take the next half hour and talk about what happens to an unfaithful man. But you know what? It includes a woman, too. I've had an unfaithful wife. And I want to tell you, it's pretty rough when it happens. But we won't go there. He who sings songs to a heavy heart is like him who lays off a garment in cold weather and like a vinegar upon a soda. Anybody knows what happens when you put vinegar on top of soda? It probably fizzes up. All right. If your enemy is hungry, it's what you just said, Irv. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. And the references for that are Matthew 5:44, and that's Jesus. Boy, is that ever a beautiful reference. I think I want to go read that. Matthew 5:44. All right. Anybody want to read that, or you want me to read it? Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Amen. So, Bob, we're in Proverbs 25.
Thank you.
And on verse, by now, verse 22. For in doing so, you will heap coals upon fire upon his head, and the Lord will reward you. Some people are still waiting for that. Okay. What if he doesn't? Do it anyway. I mean, he's got a reward waiting for you. You don't know how it's going to come to you. The north brings forth rain, so does a backbiting tongue bring forth an angry countenance. A backbiting tongue. Boy, how many people do you know of have just bit you behind your back, and you may or may not find out about it. So you just it's just something that's where a place where you got to walk in forgiveness all the time in your lives. I'm telling you, I have to walk in forgiveness many times. I make mistakes with this mouth just like anybody else does. And I'll tell you, sometimes it'll draw you to your knees, which you got to do before you go to bed. You have to. And you want to clean yourself up before the Lord. Okay, this next one talks about the disagreeing and quarrelsome woman, but you guys don't have that problem. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from afar. Yeah, we're looking for some good news from afar. Lord, bring victory to the country of Israel. Everybody say amen. Amen. Like a muddy fountain and a polluted spring is a righteous man who yields, falls down, and compromises his integrity before the wicked. That tells me that unless I, you, everybody who's a believer, sets a standard of his word, let the Holy Spirit rule and reign in that given moment, whatever that is. And I'll tell you, the important thing is that he absolutely has to rule, reign, and govern in that moment. Because everybody who falls down and compromises his integrity before the wicked, it's kind of like crawling under the pillow and saying, oh, just wait till it goes away. Boy, I won't get into a political word on here, but I sure could do that. But the important thing is that we do that. Okay, he who has no rule over his own spirit. Now, this is the last verse. He who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Proverbs 16:32, and I want to see what that says. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his own spirit than he who takes a city. And the important thing is that what, and I talked to this to you guys before, and I keep teaching it to myself. What is your desired effect when you make a statement that comes out of your mouth? What's your desired effect? Are you looking for a response? Or are you looking for a reaction? What is it that you want to have happen when you make a statement? Boy, that was spoken to me in January of 1982. And I was trying to keep my wife by redoing my mouth, trying so hard. And she noticed that I changed because I was working with this deacon in my church, going over to his house every day, saying, hey, well, how do I keep my wife? He says, you got to redo your attitudes. And that's the first thing that came out of my mouth. So she noticed that, but she was so heavily involved with the guy she was involved with that marriage was pretty much over with at that point. And I just couldn't do nothing. Boy, did I pray hard. But there's one thing that God cannot do, and that's to turn somebody else's will against them. He won't do that. Everybody has a free will. And you're stuck with whatever their decision is. Boy, have I had to experience that. So you know what? Stay with your own business. Keep your eyes on what God's called you to do, and there'll be peace in that. So I just wanted to tell you guys these beautiful verses in this Proverbs 25 because they've come to mean so much to me. And there's all these beautiful references that I said that there is available. Like I said earlier, and I just want to repeat this. If you're going to go into a quiet time with the Lord, one of the best ways to do that, and I'm learning this daily, is to read a psalm first. Pick a psalm, maybe two or three of them, and read them, and then have a notebook ready if the Lord speaks to you out of the psalms, and then go into Proverbs and pull out. Sometimes starting with Proverbs chapter 2 is a rich place to start. But the thing about it is that once you get through, you know, I actually feel stronger when I get through reading the Word of God. Some of you guys feel that way. You actually feel stronger when you get done. And sometimes it'll go an hour and a half. You know, when you're retired, an hour and a half doesn't matter. It's great. But the important thing is that my relationship with God keeps me strong and keeps me right and keeps me right thinking with him. And the most important thing is that my salvation is in place. Jesus has died on the cross for my sins. I know I'm going to heaven. And he says, so that you may know. Boy, the only thing is I'd like to be playing piano a little more, but that's pretty well stopped. And I really wish it wouldn't because I have a hunger to play, worship God. So I do it in my house. And I just praise and thank you, Lord. So I'm going to pray now. I ask you guys to pray with me and finish up here and ask the Lord to increase your walk with him through the uses of Psalms and Proverbs. Are you ready? Father, we praise you and we thank you for the fullness of what you're doing in each one of our lives. We praise you and thank you for your word and the fullness of what it has meant. And I thank you for these men here who are in the same place as I am. Well, each and every one of us has our own walk with you. But we ask you, Lord, to make us be beacons of light unto them that are perishing. Make it we have a situation coming here after we leave this room, that you might be with us in a very special way. Let your Holy Spirit lead, guide, direct, and show us to what your plan, your purpose, your pursuit is for each and every one of our lives, and just make us ready for that very special moment. Sometimes I walk away from very special moments, and I am so full of happiness that I know you have worked. So the important thing is to be, everybody say this word, obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.